And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 178, coming at you, as we always do, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it is winter and it's snowing, and yeah, it's kind of sloppy and wet, and we're getting kind of the part of winter that is less enjoyable right now. And to be honest, you know, we had a polar vortex come through recently, and it wasn't all that bad. You know, maybe it's not that it's any less cold. I mean, I think it was down to below 7 the one day, but I think maybe we're just getting used to it now, and it doesn't bother us as much as it used to. But yeah, so interestingly enough, we don't have a whole lot of news and so forth to chat about this time, but we are going to be continuing on. Before we do, though, we had something really odd happen, and I'm not sure if I took the right course of action or not. I suspect I did, but if you were the person who requested to join the Facebook group on January 12th, and all of your posts are in a foreign language, then I'd like you to email the show, because I denied your application to join the group because I was afraid that it was going to be spam. And if it was not spam, I do apologize, but I would like you to email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com and let us know that you're for real, because it looked a bit suspicious to me. And you know, I don't mean to offend people, but I'm trying to keep the Facebook group spam free, and so far it has been. So just saying, you know, if you're a real person, let me know, and I'll go ahead and invite you into the group. But you know, most of the time, you can usually tell when somebody is for real and tell when they're not for real. And yeah, we don't want any spam in the group. Anyway, and anybody else who wants to email the show, please feel free to do so as well. RadioFreeAsgard@gmail.com is the email address. And of course, we are going to be talking about the Lee Kirby run, kind of a retrospect look at the Lee Kirby run. So if anybody has anything to say, you know, that would be a great place to email your response, and I'll read it out on the show. Of course, all emails are read out on the show, but you know, any particular comments that you might have on the Lee Kirby run, we will welcome them. It's much nicer to have more than one viewpoint in these kind of shows, unlike the Walt Simonson show, where it was just me, as usual. Anyway, so we do have an issue of Thor God of Thunder to cover, so let's just get right to it, shall we?
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are looking at Thor, God of Thunder, number 20, and it doesn't have a big number 2 on the cover, so I guess that's not issue number 2. Cover art is May of 2014. Retail for $3.99. Cover art is by Esad Rebic. Shows Old Man Thor in battle against Galactus. And an awesome cover it is, too. And the Old Man Thor has his back turned, and it looks like he's being caught from behind by one of Galactus's lightning energy sort of things, or maybe Galactus is drawing energy out of him. It's really kind of hard to tell, but it's an awesome cover. It's a really, really nice job. So we open up the splash page, and of course we have a little bit of a roll call here, and I kind of like roll calls. I've always liked them ever since I was a kid reading the JLA, JSA team-ups, and anyway, so we have a roll call, tells who everybody is, and I'll go ahead and read that. We have Thor, God of Thunder, from Asgardia, which currently floats in the sky above Broxton, Oklahoma. He has sworn to protect his beloved Midgard, or as the locals call it, Earth. And he likes Roz Solomon. new S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, part of their environmental action team, trying to stop corporations like Roxxon from destroying the planet. She hates Dario Agger. Dagger, that's funny. Roxxon's CEO fled to the company's island headquarters after Thor embarrassed him at a press conference. His nickname, the Minotaur, might be more than just a nickname, who do you think? Even still, he's nothing compared to Old Galactus. Several millennia from now, the Devourer of Worlds has come to finally consume Earth, which by this point is just a barren wasteland. The only one left to stop him is King Thor, a much older god of thunder. Now he has three granddaughters, Frigg, Elisiv, and Atli, and one of the Destroyer's arms. He will die before he lets this be The Last Days of Midgard, parts 2 of 5. All worlds must die. Jason Aaron is the writer. Esad Rebic is the artist. Ives Fortsina is the color artist. VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer. Esad Rebic did the cover. Nick Klein did the variant cover, which I didn't see. John Moisson is the assistant editor. Will Moss, the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And the splash page shows Thor kind of flying through space, and I think it's just supposed to be generic. Anyway, and we turn the page, and across from the story, we actually have an ad for Avengers Confidential, Black Widow, Punisher. And makes very little sense because, you know, Black Widow, of course, is an Avenger, but I don't think the Punisher is, and yeah, I don't think he'd want to be. Anyway. And I wouldn't want to watch it if the Punisher's in it anyway. And we open up many millennia from now on a ruined world once known as Earth. And we have King Thor, Old Man Thor, and his three granddaughters, and Galactus, who's setting up his Earth-eating machine. And the women are Frigg, it looks like, is shouting, "Galactus! That's really him! The guy who eats planets!"
"Huh, I thought he'd be taller. He's no bigger than a storm giant."
"I thought he'd be dead. No one's seen him for centuries."
"Galactus has killed more worlds than anything in the history of the cosmos. More than supernovas. More than all the black holes in the heavens combined. Grandfather, I hope you know what this means."
"Means he should have brought his arm."
And I guess we see that King Thor's not wearing his arm, his destroyer arm. And he's like, "Damn arm weighs a ton. Hurts my back."
"No, this means it's time to let go of Midgard once and for all," says Frigg. "Grandfather Thor, please look around you. There's nothing left of the world you once loved. You cannot risk a battle against a being as powerful as Galactus over nothing more than a distant memory."
"Someday, Norn's willing, you will be as old as well, Frigg, my beloved granddaughter, and you may find that distant memories are all you have left. You and your sister should stand back now." And they're like, "Oh, no."
He whispers something in this. I'm sure I could read it if I had a microscope, but I don't know. It's just a prayer or something. I don't know. And he starts whipping around Mjolnir, and it's creating lots of lightning. And the girls are like,
"Oh, Father, please don't do this."
"It's already done, girl. The thunder has spoken."
And he causes a great big Krakakoom, or actually it's Kradadoom, and he hurls Mjolnir as hard as he can, and it's a portal of some kind, and Frigg is like,
"A portal? No, you can't."
And he says, I don't know if he's ordering the hammer to do it, or is he telling the girls? Oh, three girls are being sucked up into the portal, so they're being removed from the battlefield. And he's like,
"Tell Asgard to close the Bifrost. No god is to set foot in Midgard, no matter what should befall here."
"You can't fight him. You can't possibly hope to..."
Bloop, then they're gone.
"Whoever said I was going to fight him? Can't fight Galactus with one arm and no hammer. But I can die. Aye, that I can still do. Always knew this old rock would be the death of me. The prophecies were right about that, at least. Just never imagined it would take so blasted long."
And Old Man Thor goes trucking down this mountain towards where Galactus is.
And we see Galactus, you know, just kind of towering over like a skyscraper. And he's got all these glowy lines all over him. And it's very much like Tron. It's kind of glowy highlights and all that stuff. And his machine is the same way. And it's got a smoke billowing out. And Thor strides up to him. And he's like, "Ho, devourer of worlds! Before thou makest thyself too comfortable, the King of Asgard would have words with thee." And we get a MyComicShop.com ad and an awesome con, Washington, D.C. ad. Awesome. And we shift scenes to the present day, Broxton, Oklahoma. And we have these kind of cracked islands floating above. And we're getting a little bit of narration here from Thor. And he's sitting in a diner called Bill's Diner along with Roz Salmon. And he's pontificating a bit here. "Every day somewhere in the cosmos a world is dying. Some explode, others wither. Some murder every living thing upon their surface. Some are murder themselves. But one truth is irrefutable throughout the universe. All worlds must die, or so they say. I say not here, not Earth, not while the God of Thunder still draws breath. And what say you, Agent Rosalind Solomon of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I say, I believe you, Thor. I just hope, you know, this isn't a fight that we can win in a day or a year, or maybe even a lifetime. But that doesn't mean it's not worth fighting."
"Ha! Did I not tell you she was a fighter, Lady Clementine?" And he's talking to the waitress at the diner. It's got a typical Oklahoma-looking lady.
"You might have mentioned it. Refill?"
"Aye, let the coffee flow. Lord William the Younger, more swine flesh and bird embryos."
And I would think that Thor would know what an egg is. You would think. Anyway. Yeah.
"So these books you've been reading, The Cemetery in the Stars, Astral Autopsies, The Encyclopedia of Dead Planets, Heavenly Holocaust, A Study of Dying and Deceased Worlds by Avoto D. Delecus, The God of Eternal Morbidity. Where did you say you got these?"
"A very special library, very far from here. A place where gods can go, called the Halls of All-Knowing. Please be extremely careful with them. If I so much as bend a page of these texts, there is a librarian there who will have my head."
"And you've been here reading these all night?"
"I am the child of Gaia, the Earth Mother. I feel the planet suffering, its rage. When I close my eyes, I hear the skies screaming. I will sleep when Midgard and its people are safe. Until then, I seek answers."
"Look at all these worlds that died or were reduced to nothing. Worlds that no one could save. I had no idea there would be so many. Please tell me you learned something from these books that can help us."
"I have learned that we must make haste."
And they leave the diner and they're going out to Roz's car.
"Companies like Roxxon are harming the Earth as we speak, are they not?"
"I believe they're a big part of the problem, yeah."
"Yet you haven't the proof needed to thwart them in accordance with the laws of man?"
"I'm working on it. But right now, no. This is the first time S.H.I.E.L.D. has ever had an environmental task force. So far, against super corporations like Roxxon, we're outmatched."
And Thor's kind of smirking here in this panel.
"You're smiling like somebody who's going to get me into trouble."
"What do you know of lightning?"
"It's an electrostatic discharge that occurs between clouds or between..."
"Bah! That is what you read in a book. What do you know of how it feels? How it feels to stand inside a thundercloud, to hurl superbolts so powerful they can be seen from space, to hear the crackle of spiral lightning in the palm of your hand."
"Spiral lightning? That's not a real thing."
"Perhaps not yet, it isn't. You have the knowledge. I have the storms. Together we can fight to save this world from those who would harm it. What say you, Agent Solomon of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
"I say, I still don't understand exactly what you're asking of me."
"Then come, let me show you. Let me show you how it feels to stand inside the storm. Let me show you how the God of Thunder makes war."
Okay then.
And we shift scenes to the skies above South America. And we see a floating car here. Roz Solomon standing on the hood of the car. And Thor kind of hovering in a way that Thor normally doesn't hover. Yeah, because normally he uses his hammer to fly, but in this case, it just seems like he's just floating there. And apparently they've traveled here from Oklahoma.
"This is it. It's directly below us. God, you can smell the place even up here."
And you're absolutely certain there's no one inside?
Scanned it and scanned it again. Whole place is automated. It's too toxic for anyone to set foot inside.
Then you've done your job, Agent Solomon. Now it is time I do mine. And he kind of raises Mjolnir up, and there's all this lightning coruscating around, and there's this giant lightning hitting I think this is one of those floating factories, with a ba-boom, and it's all blowing up. We have a shift in scenes here to Roxxon Island, and we have somebody giving Mr. D. Agger bad news here.
Mr. Agger, I regret to report that sometime this afternoon there was an incident at our atmospheric treatment facility in San Diablo. In short, it's no longer there.
What do you mean, no longer there?
We're being told it was some sort of atmospheric anomaly, a localized superstorm. The village 2 miles away didn't see so much as a drop of rain, and yet our facility was completely obliterated by lightning. That accounts to a $400 million loss, and unfortunately, Mr. Agger, sir, that's not all. Similar storms later struck other facilities all over the globe, some that belonged to the Yashida Corps, some Alchemex, some ours. 3 mobile factories, 2 iceberg processing plants, and our main East African evaporator, all completely totaled. But thankfully, there was no loss of life.
Oh, believe me, there will be, says Mr. Agger.
Collect on the insurance immediately. I want all of these facilities rebuilt and doubled in size.
We have talked to the insurance company, sir, and given the nature of the incidents, I'm afraid they're refusing coverage. In their estimation, this was a series of natural disasters. They've categorized the entire ordeal as an act of God.
Yes. Well, I do believe they're right about that.
Gentlemen, we are officially at war. Our enemy has just drawn first blood. It's time to discuss our retaliation strategy. I want to hear your best ideas.
And this group of Roxxon people, they're walking into this like laboratory, and it's all green and glowy. And inside the laboratory, there's these big cages, and inside the cages, there's a bunch of polar bears.
Don't all speak at once. Sir, what is this room?
This is Lab 487. This is where we engineer eating machines.
You're all aware of our planetary food redistribution program. Phase 1 involved multiple accidental chemical leaks and oil spills, which managed to kill untold millions of sea creatures. Phase 2 was the introduction of invasive plant and animal species to various ecosystems around the globe. For example, the lionfish population we seeded in the Atlantic. At last report, our voracious little lionfish are wiping out native species all along the American coast. These bears are phase 3. Their jaws and stomachs have been augmented, their blood laced with amphetamines, and they've been genetically engineered to gorge themselves to the point of obesity. Basically, they will not stop eating until they're dead, or until everything around them is. We plan on dropping these along rivers in Canada to begin curtailing the salmon population. I'd say the day is coming very soon, gentlemen, when every fish sold on this planet comes not from the sea, but from a Roxxon hatchery. See, this is what I mean by great ideas. And that's something we could use a little more of around here lately, don't you think?
Come on, gentlemen, don't look so uneasy. These bears aren't man-eaters. I assure you, we've bred them to only eat fish.
Oh, look, I wonder what this button does. And he has, like, this iPod-looking thing, and he presses the button, and there's this giant splooch. And the three guys are all covered with some kind of goop, fish oil, or I don't know what it is. Anyway, they're covered with some kind of slime or fish waste or something. And they're like, oh my God.
God indeed. We are at war with one gentleman, and I want to know how to hurt him. You are supposedly the brightest minds that Roxxon has to offer. So, let the brainstorming session begin.
And he presses another button on the iPod thing, and the cages begin to open. And the bears, this looks a lot like a wolf, they start to come out of the cages, and they're chasing the guys, and they're running like, And he's like,
I'm not hearing any ideas, gentlemen. Just sounds like an awful lot of screaming.
And we see, I don't know, it's somebody elsewhere I'm not really sure what's going on here, but we have this panel, and this red guy wearing goggles, and he's talking. He says, "Hear those screams, boy? Tell me, can you guess which one is your mother and which is your father?" So I'm not really sure what's going on here. And Mr. Agger is like, "I don't like screaming. I believe we've discussed this. You all know it tends to make me..." And he changes shape, and they're like, "Mr. Agger, I have an idea, sir. I know how to hurt Thor. Just please." And we see one of the polar bears is being held back by Mr. Agger, but he's changed, and you can tell he's changed because his hand only has two fingers on it. And he's like, "You have 30 seconds, Mr. Randolph. Wow me." And we see, we have a full page spread here of Mr. Agger, and he has changed, and he's this minotaur sort of beast with a bull-like head. I would say it would be a bull's head, except it has these big sharp teeth, which bulls don't have. So it's not very bull-like, but it obviously is very strong, and he's holding the bear's back, and he's got these glowy red eyes, and I have to say, it looks a little dorky. But anyway, I mean, it's still a nice page because I like remix artwork. And we shift scenes to many millennia from now, back to old man King Thor, and he's yelling at Galactus,
"Damn my beard! Should have flown over here before I sent the blasted hammer away. Galactus, I know you can hear me, you bastard! Stop being rude!"
"You have climbed all this way for nothing, Thor of Asgard, unless you came to watch the Earth die."
"You know I cannot allow that."
"Then you shall die as well. I did not come here to fight. As you can see, I am rather unarmed. I came to talk."
It's funny because he only has one arm.
"Talk all you like. It shall not disturb my meal."
"The Earth is already half dead. Why would you want to eat a world such as this?"
"Why would you want to defend it?"
"Because it saved me more times than I can count. And I haven't saved it nearly enough."
"It has defied me more times than I can count. And no matter its current condition, I assure you the taste of it shall be sweet. I have traveled the cosmos for billions of eons and ended more worlds than there are numbers to count. Among all the planets, only one, only this tiny unspectacular speck of mud ever dared defy my right to destroy it. This wretched, arrogant Earth that imagined itself so precious, so supremely important. Look at it now. Look what man hath made of the meagerness he was given. Not so very precious after all, it would seem. They never are. Once the spaceways were teeming with life, with worlds far more grand and vibrant than the Earth ever dreamed it could be. But now... now the universe is old and dying. The worlds are far too few, and my hunger far too great. All worlds must die. This we know. And thus, Earth's time has come."
And Galactus goes back to his glowing machine thingy, and like he's trying to suck the life force out of the Earth. And old man Thor is not having this. He's like,
"Aye, the Earth may be naught but ruins and ghosts, but it still has a god, and he still says thee nay."
"Aye, see barely half a god, and he should go back to Asgard and hope that the Earth is enough to sate my hunger. Time is short for each of us, Thor. This you should know, for everything that is. Someday very soon we will all die hungry and alone. But today, gods be damned, Galactus shall feast."
And he turns on his machine, and it's glowing, and energy pouring out of it. It would be so easy, he thinks, to let it slip away. All he need do is nothing. Perhaps that would be mercy. But Thor has never been the god of mercy.
"Galactus, this is your last warning. Step away from the Earth now. We will find you another world to dine on, I swear. I do not wish you harm."
"Harm? You truly believe you could harm the last living master of the power cosmic? I think your mind has gone soft, Asgardian. I am done showing you courtesy. You should have left me to eat in peace.
And Galactus reaches out his hand, shoots a cosmic bolt at Thor with a giant fa-boo! And knocks him down with a crackoom, and Thor is kind of rolling around in the dirt, and he's getting up, and he says,
"And you should have killed me when you had the chance."
And we hear crada broom, and what should come back but Mjolnir, and he's got his arm attached to it. So the hammer is returning to old man Thor. And he grabs the hammer, and the arm attaches to itself to him, like, automatically, which is interesting. It kind of buckles itself on right away. And Galactus is enraged by this, and looks like he's getting ready to blast him again. His hand's all glowing and shit.
"In some way, I am almost grateful to you for this, Thor. After all this time, it would have been a shame to have destroyed the Earth without killing someone who still cared for it."
And Thor, now he's fully armed with arm and hammer. He gets ready to bash Galactus and jumps at him. It's like, "For Midgard!" And we shift scenes. We're back on Earth, and we have the Minotaur, and he's smacking one of the bears with a whack. And he's saying,
"Well done, Mr. Randolph. I like this idea. Consider yourself promoted to vice president in charge of anti-deity operations. Now please, I'm dying to hear more. Tell me all about this place called Broxton."
And we have a shift in scenes again to Oklahoma and the kind of country highway. A sign says, "Welcome to Broxton, neighbors to the gods." And we see trucks rolling in, and on the trucks, Roxxon, to be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 20. And of course, we will have a few words to say about this, as we always do. But first, we have a message from one of our friends.
Hey, Kids Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved.
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
And we are back. And of course, yeah, we have a few words. But again, like last issue, we really don't have that much to say. And the reason why is because this is a really solid issue. Writing-wise, it's really solid. Art-wise, it's really solid. I like the way that Galactus is depicted. And, you know, it kind of is interesting because they have these, you know, the kind of the glowing piping on Galactus's armor. And you know it's not something they just pulled out of their ass. I mean, that kind of piping was on Galactus's armor from the very beginning. I like the fact that they kind of did something with it that was interesting. And you know, they kind of added more of this glowy stuff on it than you know, the piping that was originally there. But you know, that's okay. I mean, it's kind of DC New 52-ish, but that's okay. I mean, I like the way that Galactus looks. I like the way that he has kind of steam pouring out of his helmet, which, I mean, I don't quite get why that's going on like that, but okay, maybe it's part of the, you know, energy absorbing thing, you know, the properties of his outfit or whatever. I mean, I believe that his outfit has something to do with the way he absorbs energy from planets and so forth. But he actually, you know, I think Rebic is doing a really good job of making Galactus look like Galactus, and at the same time, not making him look all Silver Age and corny. I mean, you know, the way that Galactus was drawn for years is kind of, I don't know, dated, I guess you could say. It's very much rooted to the 1960s. And here, we actually have a pretty good effort at keeping it from being old, and actually looks really, really cool. Like the, you know, the old man Thor character is always, you know, I like, you know, sort of him sending his hammer off. I knew the hammer was going to come back. Come on, didn't you know that? I mean, he kind of figured his hammer is going to come back just in time. And, of course, bringing his arm with it. So, you know, interesting there. I don't know if, you know, what had happened. The granddaughters tied the arm to it and threw it back, or I don't know. Anyway, so it is interesting, and I really like, you know, what's going on here. Again, this it contradicts the last Galactus story that John Byrne wrote for Epic Illustrated, but then again, he never finished the story. So, you know, I mean, that could take place, you know, many millennia after this. We can only assume that, you know, Thor is going to get his way and that Midgard is not going to get destroyed this time. Anyway, yeah, artwork likewise, really good. The one weakness that I can see here, the sign at the end, Welcome to Broxton, you know, Neighbors to the Gods, it doesn't look like a real sign. It really doesn't. It looks, I don't know, it's just not good. Likewise, the look of this Minotaur character, the D. Agger is the Minotaur. You know, a Minotaur is supposed to be man with a head with a bowl, and, you know, he kind of does look that way. His clothes mysteriously vanished between panels. So either his clothes were absorbed into him when he changed, or he didn't show him ripping out of the clothes. And really, there hasn't been enough time passing between the time he released the bears and now to undress. So, I mean, that's kind of a sloppy little bit of continuity there, but it's okay. I mean, and, you know, the Minotaur himself is unremarkable. I mean, he looks like a Minotaur. But it's odd because his head looks more like a wolf's head, or like a wolf's head with horns, than it does like a bull's head. So, I mean, that's just, I don't know. He's trying his best to draw a bull, and it's coming out looking more like the bears and the wolves that he was drawing earlier. But, you know, maybe he just looks that way. Maybe he's not really a Minotaur. Maybe a Minotaur doesn't really have a bull's head. I really am not sure how it works in this, you know, Marvel 52 universe. All right, and with that, it is time to wrap up the show. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. We really, really do appreciate it. It's always really good to hear from you guys. And if you want to communicate with us, once again, you can email us, radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And also, we have the Facebook group. Come join our Facebook group. And if your profile is all in a foreign language and doesn't have anything about comics on it, then you should email me. shoot me an email, and I'll go ahead and let you in. But anyway, yeah. And with that, it's back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.